Are you looking to build out your freelance business this year? Good, because that's what we're here to talk about.
They say there's no good news.
So, ways to build out your freelance business. Let's get to it.
One.
So as you know, we're commonly told network, network, network. But too often, the people who take that advice, they take it to mean interacting with potential clients or the associates of potential clients who may be able to make that connection. But too often, what's overlooked are our fellow creatives. And one reason why networking with fellow creatives is overlooked is because people tend to be too guarded and they think that other people are guarded too. And that's not always the case. Sure, there are some people out there who look at other people in their field as a threat. But I mean, that's like the person who is insecure about themselves, so they're insecure about their relationship. There will always be paranoid people who think you want what they have or you are out to somehow destroy and dethrone them. But there is also a lot of potential benefit from building ties with your fellow creatives. That includes people who do the same work that you do. So if you're a writer, network with other writers. Not only may they refer work to you if they're booked, or if they don't cover that subject matter, but also you can pick up general operating ideas that improve your business in other ways. And likewise, you can be a source of that type of information for other people. But also connect with creatives who are in other areas of the business. If you're a writer, connect with website and graphic designers. They are creating products that need content that they do not create. If you're a photographer, connect with bloggers and web designers. Once again, they are creating products that can use your service, and a lot of times they don't provide that service. In many cases, it's actually a benefit to them to be able to refer or even to offer that service as part of a package. There is nothing wrong with subcontracting. Actually, developing relationships where you can be a subcontractor to someone who offers the same or similar services as you can be a very smart and lucrative move. In any situation where you hook up with people that can refer you to clients and clients to you or vice versa, it's a win. You dig?
Two.
Contact people you've worked with in the past. It is absolutely amazing how many people work with clients and when it's over, it's over. You never reach out to them again and they never reach out to you. Continuing that way could mean that you're leaving a lot of money on the table. It makes no sense to be looking around for work and contacting everyone except the people that you've worked with in the past. Those are the people who know what you can do and they know how well you can do it. Now, you may tell yourself that if they needed you, they'd reach out. That is so far from being the truth. The same hesitation that you have to reach out to them is the same hesitation that they may have to reach out to you. They may not reach out because they think you may be salty, that they didn't have enough work for you, or that they didn't have any work for you after the last project. They may think it's just been too long, or even more likely, you may just not come to mind when they need work done. Yes, people do forget the obvious. You're the one with a business that you want to see grow. So reach out. Email those old contacts. Let them know what type of projects you're doing, what you can do for them, and invite them to pass your info along to other people that may need your services. And I'm not just talking about reach out once, get a no thanks, and never try again. Every time you reach out doesn't have to be a hard sell attempt. You might send a Christmas card to old clients once a year. You might just send some type of hello, it's been a while message to clients. You may send some type of congratulations to old clients when they hit some type of milestone or have some type of success in their business. Just try to stay on the radar. Keep yourself in mind. And also, improve your odds by contacting people when you think they may need help. If you know that there are certain dates or certain times a year when certain clients have certain needs, contact them in advance. I wrote a post a year or two ago about making money writing product descriptions. And in that post, I was saying, or at least I think I was saying, I hope I said, that near the Christmas holiday, that can be a good time to pursue work from people who hire for product descriptions, because at that time, companies tend to beef up their inventory to get a lot of new products. So there's a lot of work for description writers. So once again, if there's a time when you know an old client is likely to need the type of service that you offer, show up and offer it.
3.
Try to get contracts, or at least repeat work. Think beyond that first transaction from the very beginning. When possible, try to get clients into a long-term contract, or at least a bulk buy, where you start out with an agreement that you will provide your service to them multiple times. For example, let's say you're engaged with a client for a deal to write content for their homepage. Your response could be something to the effect of, "Well, I noticed your website is being designed with a blog. I'd be happy to save you the time and money of searching for a blog writer if you'd like me to work up a rate that includes blog posts." The same if you're a photographer and you shoot for an influencer. Try to convince her that there are major savings to be had if she commits to shooting with you on a regular basis, even if it's just once monthly. Recurring income is a wonderful thing for a freelancer. And you don't always have to push that contract or that bulk buy up front. In that situation, like with the influencer, you can wait until you deliver on that first project. And when she has your work in hand and sees what it looks like, that's when you swoop in and you make a long-term offer.
4.
Add and advertise a new skill. Doing that can allow you to get more money out of one client, and it can open you up to a whole range of new clients. If you already have a skill that you can make money from, but it's not your main service, start advertising it. So if you're a blogger and you have photography skills, but you don't sell photography, start to offer it. If you're gonna add a new skill that you will start offering, do your research. Look at some of the hottest freelance sectors and look at areas of the market where competition is low because of specialized knowledge, and start making your way into those areas. In a Creative Boom article that I was reading recently, there was a designer and artist named Amy Kilmer, and events design was her hustle. But she said that work stopped completely during the pandemic. She goes on to say, "So I found a new path by evolving my traditional graphic design skills into a 3D format. Now 80% of my work is 3D, and I really enjoy the new way of working. I somehow jumped into NFTs too because of it." The moral of that story is expand your business by expanding what you offer. And for freelance writers, I'll drop a gem for you. I've been reading a lot lately about writing with AI, especially with everyone talking about how impressive ChatGPT is. And there's a lot of talk going on about writers and editors working along with AI programs. Therefore, positioning yourself as an AI writer, an AI editor, or something that captures that AI content creation market, that could be a winning move.
5.
Don't just announce or offer your services, sell them. Explain how what you're offering saves time or money. Explain how the type of expertise you bring can improve a client's outcomes. For example, there was a Tech Digest article that I read recently, and it was titled "The Power of Blogging: Why Every Company Needs a Blog." In it, it talked about how blogs increase web traffic by up to 55%, according to one study. And that increased web traffic that leads to customers being more educated about the products that the company offers. And that leads to more conversions, which of course means more revenue. Now, of course, that article was more eloquent than I just put it. But the point is that it walked blog owners through a series of benefits and sold the idea that having a blog and a blog that is consistent is a benefit to them. The company is not doing something for you by providing you for work. They're investing in themselves by using the service that you offer. Sell clients into the idea of thinking that by taking you up on whatever it is that you provide, they walk away with a winning ticket.
6.
Create multiple revenue streams from the projects that you take on. Too many of us waste too many opportunities and frankly too much of our effort and talent because we view one job as one paycheck. But guess what? A lot of times you can tap into one project multiple times in multiple ways to make more money. As a freelance writer, I cover a lot of events and topics that are of interest to multiple groups. So for example, say I'm covering something for a national publication. I can look for the local or regional angle within that and pitch that story. Or during lockdown, true story, I had an assignment to cover an exhibit at a museum, and this actually allowed me to go on my first virtual museum tour. So the top level project, if you want to call it that, was to write about that exhibit. But then I pitched a travel, what to do in the city type piece about the museum itself, which I was familiar with. And I had quotes from people in the museum that I had interviewed. Those would have just been deleted words if I hadn't used them for something else. Also, because I need a lot of visuals for different projects and things that I worked on, I've recently asked both a photographer and a videographer to create a drive with the additional footage and images from their shoots so that I can rummage through their work and pick from that material that they would otherwise just delete or have on a hard drive somewhere, probably not making them any money. That potentially gives me material that I need in a very convenient way, while it also offers them additional revenue for work they're already doing. And like I said, in most cases, it would either be a throwaway or just something that's lingering, consuming storage space. You can even add unused content to platforms like Medium or Patreon. That way, if people want to access it, you can get some passive income. It might not necessarily be a lot, but less than a lot is more than nothing. And if people don't access it, if you don't make anything, it's not really a loss. It just sits there as potential for future revenue.
7.
Replace old, stubborn clients with new, higher paying ones. Financial security can keep you broke. That's facts. Just because a client has a long history with you doesn't mean they're good for the growth of your business. If you've been working with a client for 5 years and they can clearly see that all prices in life have gone up, but they just can't grasp, they can't understand why your prices need to rise, you have to ask yourself what the future is with this client. Because at some point, those financial dynamics shift to where what you're doing is you're essentially offering them a steeper and steeper discount just to keep them on your books. One of the key pieces of information that's floating around right now in the professional world with regards to employment is that one way people are boosting their income and can boost their income is by switching jobs. Employers tend to resist raises, but with the labor market being what it is, prospective employers are often willing to pay better to get you in the door. The same can be true with freelancers and freelance clients. Some freelance clients aren't going to want to pay more for what they see as the same service, but there are likely others out there who will agree to more attractive rates to get service. Now, of course, I'm not saying to just run around hiking prices and give clients an ultimatum to stay or to go. And I'm not saying to just dump a client who won't pay more without another revenue stream in place. But also, keep in mind that revenue replacement may not have to be a new client. It may be a Substack subscription channel or members-only community. It may be a podcast, a YouTube channel, a course, or some other venture you've been considering. After all, time is money, and it is not an unlimited resource. Well, folks, it's been real. If you like what you heard, please share and subscribe if you haven't already done so, wherever you like to get your podcasts. And if you would like to show some love, you can do so on Cash App for No Good Writer. That is KNOWGOOD Writer. The Cash App and PayPal details are wherever you clicked into this podcast. As always, any and everything is greatly appreciated. Until next time, folks. Peace.